Jimmy Jam, Baltimore.
All right.
Come on, people.
Don't stop, Pat. Don't stop. Great comeback. My name is Jimmy. First, let me thank God for allowing me to be here and thank y'all for showing me how to stay here one day at a time. You know, I was sitting over there, and I thank the committee for asking me and giving me an opportunity to share my experience, perhaps of hope, and seeing something in me that I have to share, period. Because there was a time where nobody ever wanted to hear nothing that I had to say. You know, with this topic of anonymity, my topic is vision of hope. You know, and a lot of people in the fellowship, which I know don't understand what anonymity is. And I watch people break people's anonymity all the time. You know, to keep it simple, you know, if me and you were to step outside and we go back to our hometowns, you could tell them you was here, but you're not supposed to tell them I was here.
No, that's right.
That's what anonymity is. You know, it's my job to tell them whether I was here or not, or whether I even have the choice and want you to know that. And not that it's embarrassing or anything of that nature, especially not to me, but you know, all of us, we be in different professions and things of that nature where sometimes we can't share that everywhere we go. Because, you know, when we come in here in this circle, you know, everybody know what we are, but everybody in the street or people still outside of the circle still think the lie not dead. We know it's dead, but they don't think it's dead. You know, they still got that once an addict, always addict. And I'm just saying in the sense of behavior-wise. They think we don't change because we allow a few meetings in our different cities to get closed because we don't want to follow simple directions like stop standing outside all the time, go across the street, and then we lose a meeting and ain't got nowhere to go. You know, and for people that ain't been here long, y'all don't understand how important these meetings is. Listen, I'm not saying this for me. I've been here 28 years. I'm saying this for the new people. I want, you know, the literature we talks about today talks about many people before us didn't have this chance. See, my brother ain't had his chance. The dope killed him. My uncle ain't had his chance. Dope killed him. But I got a chance. And people that's come behind me got a chance. And it's up to us to keep the doors open for them. And that's what these things about anonymity is about, man. We got to keep trying to keep this door open for somebody else. And that's all when we get to the point of my topic when we talk about a vision. A vision is just something that you see. I ain't going to talk about nothing unless I know about it. A vision is just something you see, and you don't have to see it with your naked eye.
All right.
You don't have to see it with your naked eye. And it talks about a vision of hope. You know, so I didn't get no hope till I came in here and met y'all. I didn't get no hope till I was in Baltimore and I started seeing some people that had got there before me. And I saw hope. Like when I first come into fellowship and I seen a guy that used to live in a shooting gallery like I did. I don't know where you came from. I'm grateful. I used to live in a shooting gallery. For those who don't understand, that's, you know, for the smokers, y'all was in the old joint. I was in a shooting gallery. And I lived there because I had nowhere else to go. I used up all my resources. Couldn't go in my mother's house. Couldn't go in my sister's house anymore, man. It doesn't feel good to talk about those kind of things. I'm saying 20 years later, man. The feeling of not being able to go in your own mother's house. When your mother tells you, I don't care where you go, but you can't come in here.
Yes, sir.
Going to my sister's house, and I didn't understand it when I was using drugs because my sister was loving and caring, but she knew how to love me from afar. But I couldn't see it then. When I used to go to her house and ask, can I come in? And she said, you're not coming in here. Because she had a husband and children. My sister knew stuff that I didn't know. She knew I would take something. I didn't know that. But my sister knew. She had a vision. My sister knew I would take something, so she wouldn't let me in my house. Listen. But listen, without a shadow of a doubt, my sister loved me. My sister used to bring me, I used to shoot dope and coke all day, and my sister would bring me food to the door on a plate. Like I was a dog. That's how I used to look at it. But she fed me. The big picture was she fed me. I just couldn't come inside. She took care of me. Listen, my sister had the same spirit then as she had right this very day. My youngest son just turned 21. I'm just saying, showing you. Listen, this is the hope that I get from people, not just in here, like my sister. This was just about last month. You know, my son turned 21. We all get together. My mother came. My mother's 80. I didn't expect her to come outside. I was had so much joy because she came out. My mother's 80. She don't like to come out when it gets dark anymore. She came out. We took my son to dinner. My other sons came. My grandchildren came. My sister's still the same way. We ate what we ate, and everybody was going in their pocket to pay their end, whatever their end was. And before we could blink, my sister paid for everything. That's what I'm saying. The same type of spirit that she's always had. That I wasn't expecting that myself. Because I've been put in a position through God's grace to take care of myself. Because I stayed here long enough, man, and watched what God did for y'all. See, that's the vision for the new people. I watched what he did for y'all. I watched what he did for y'all. And he did the same thing for me. And you just got to believe that the same God that'll take care of me will take care of you. I got friends in here, man. I got physical evidence of what God can do. And every time something good happened in my life, I share it with my friends, man. I watch God. Listen, you got to pay attention. See, they say a smart man learns from his own experience, but a wise man learns from everybody's experience. I'm wise. I got friends in here, like, for example, like when I watched God, because I've always heard it since I've been here. And I know my friends don't mind me calling their name. I watched God deliver Pat from the penitentiary. I watched him deliver you from the penitentiary and turn you to a new creature. See, it's people here, you hear people talk about stuff, but I'm talking about stuff that I know. Tamara, I watched God deliver you from the cancer. I watched him do it. I watched when you had no hair on your head. And he brought you back. I watch my friend right here. This is my good friend right here. I kill the devil about this dude here. Watch God deliver. 20 years in the penitentiary. They called the coroner and said he gonna die. Call your parents. He lived longer than the doctor. That's the hope.
That's the hope.
I watched my good friend Francis get shot 9 times. She's sitting right there. To tell you about it. Tell me God ain't good. Why should I be crying? I only got shot once. I just got shot once. Still here to talk about it. Only person I know that got shot 9 times is her and 50 Cent. That's still here. I watched God do miracles in here, man. I watched him turn Charlie into a minister. A preacher. Excuse me. A preacher. I'm telling you what I know, man. Listen, the same thing I'm getting you, I'm just trying to show y'all the vision, the stuff that'll happen for you. Listen. I watched the streets, Lana Bean, take your son. And you still ain't smoke no crack. So that's why when you took my daughter, I ain't smoke no crack. Man, listen. Y'all don't understand. Sometimes people just don't. Sheila, you didn't think I forgot about you, did you? I watched God give you that house at 4535. I watched you go through the settlement. I watched you thought it wasn't going to happen because you had to wait. He said, not right now. Where you at right now, though? Don't tell me how good God is. It's a little difficult this stage of the game to just talk about me. It's hard. Because I've seen his work. I'm only here through his grace and his mercy. Just like y'all. For those that's new and don't know what that means, all grace is when you get what you don't deserve. And all mercy is, if you want to keep it simple, is when you don't get what you should have got. Listen, I try to keep it simple. I say I'm gonna be a little quiet tonight because I ain't never had to talk this late. But you know, when I come in here and think about how good God been to me through y'all, I'm like Jeremiah. With the fire in my bone. I'm telling you what I know. I ain't telling you what I heard. I'm telling you what I know. I say thank you every morning when he wake me up. Pray real simple. I thank you because he ain't had to do it. He ain't had to do it. Hey, listen. Ain't nothing good about me. That's why I give it all to him. And for those who don't understand and still don't want to work these steps and these premises in their life, listen, without God, I'm just a mistake waiting to happen. I'm a mistake waiting to happen. If I ain't careful. But I get so fired up when I see my friends. You know, this is one of the things where we get to come through annually, and you see people you don't see all the time. For people that don't understand that. I got friends in, many friends in D.C. I stay up there. They think that's where I live. I live in Baltimore. But I be up there so much. Absolutely. All the time. My friend Francis live in Charlotte, North Carolina. Talk to her all the time. Sheila texts me every morning. Every morning. Not sometimes. But I watched God work miracles. I know some people probably think I forgot about them. Saying, hey, listen, I appreciate anybody that comes support me. I appreciate it too, Charlie. Let me tell you. And I know it. Stephanie, I watched God work on you. I watched him work on you. I don't talk to you all the time, but Lana Bean is the reporter. And she tell me what you've been through, what you're going through, and I pray for you all the time. All the time. Like I say, man, I'm a people person. When I first came in here, I asked the guy, can I go first? Because you know, I'm not a person, I don't ego trip. Now, I done been to conventions, people worrying about who going first and who going second. Man, I don't ego trip that. Anytime you can put me in, once I prayed, I'm good. But God gonna deliver the same message. Because I asked, because I'm a servant. I got to a point where I recovered from working the steps and the principle, and I understand why I'm here. It took me a long time to understand even why I'm here. I'm here to serve. I ain't here for nothing else. Use me. And I do it everywhere I go, even in the other place. They say, yeah, boy, I know I heard you go over there to that big place, or did you work over here? No, I don't work over there. I serve over there. That's what I do. For those who don't know, if you come over there, that's where I am. On that middle door, open it for you, saying good morning with a smile. I serve with gladness. I don't know what you'd rather be. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than to dwell in the wickedness. Trust me.
Good position.
And I said all the time, man, listen, I'm one of them kind of person. I've been clean too long not to talk about God. So if you got a problem with me talking about God, all you got to do is don't ask me to speak no more. That's all. Because I can't help it. How you going to stay clean this long and don't honor the person that woke you up this morning and started you on your way? And anybody got a problem with it, all you got to do is read the literature. They talk about God all the time. Right, the basic text. When you get to the third, you got to turn your will over. They don't say turn it over to somebody. They turn it over to God. That's right. And people don't understand that even in third step, it's talking about turning your life and your will over to the care of God. Who don't want to turn their life over to somebody that's going to take care of you?
Yeah.
That's how it is. Same way when you're taking one of your children to wherever you take them in the morning. You can take them somewhere and somebody will have to take care of them. You can't put your children in the hands of nobody unless you trust them. And that's how God is. I trust them. Because of what I've seen them done with y'all, what I've seen them done with my life, I trust them. People talk about, you know, all you need is, you know, they might say, what you need more in your life? I need more faith. No, I don't need no more faith. They say all you got to do is have faith the size of a mustard seed. That's this big. No, I need more trust. Can he trust you? That's all God will know. Can I trust you? All God's will is God want for Jimmy what Jimmy want for Jimmy. My sponsor told me that. He said, if you don't want nothing, don't do nothing. That's what he told me in 1988. And I still do the same thing now. I mean, I'm not a person with 20 years that don't work the steps, ain't got sponsor, and don't use my sponsor. I talked to my sponsor before I came down here this morning. That's first stop. Talk to God, talk to my wife, then my sponsor. You better bet it. And that's what I must do, man. You know, people tell me there's no must in our cause, no, it is. If you don't do nothing else, you must change. You must change. They've been telling us that forever, even before I came in here. They even got songs about it. They say, everything must change. Nothing stays the same. Listen, I'm telling you what I know. I ain't the same person. I remember early on, I'm going to say this, and most people know my story. When I first came in here, in the fellowship, I got married. Lost a wife, did what I wanted to do, got married again, me and wife separated, did what I wanted to do. And then people was always like, see, people, I heard somebody talking about earlier, you know, people have a tendency to always put their mouth on you. You got to be careful who you put your mouth on. I'm one of the king's kids.
Watch it, man.
I'm one of the king's kids. So watch your mouth. Yeah, yeah, watch your mouth. Talking about me. People used to always say it like, listen, girl, he'll slide up on you. He gonna try getting your panties. Listen, it's a whole group of women right there. I ain't never tried to get in their panties. And my friends. See, I got proof. I'm glad they're in here. I got proof. You know, people think you're just talking. I'm a man's man. I respect a woman, man. You know, and there's some people that have pulled me up since I've been in this fellowship and say, you know what? I thank God I had an opportunity to meet you for myself. You ain't nothing like what I heard. The crazy part is, it's always you hear from somebody else that's trying to do it to them. And they think I want to do it to them too. Listen, I'm saying that because I had to tell a couple people, you so busy telling the girl stuff about me, you don't want her. She my friend. I make her to help you guys. Butthole. But you were so busy talking about me. But man, when you talk about the vision and the hope of this program, man, listen. The sky's the limit. I went from a shooting gallery, living in there, to I've been on my job 18 years. Got a good record on my job. I'm a boss on my job. I ain't saying it in a bodacious way. I'm telling you where God moved me from. I was in the back. I was in the back. Now I run a whole shift. The Dope Fiend, Meach Baltimore. Living in a shooting gallery. They came through my job. I worked for the state. They wiped out all the ex-convicts, which they needed to deal with them kids. They wiped out all, I worked in correction. They wiped all the convicts out. They say, anybody convict fixed, we got to get rid of them. So I'm still there at the time, and I'm one of the supervisors. So, you know, now here come the snakes. But you don't know the work I've done since I've been here. You don't know the work I've done. I done had my record expunged. So they don't know that. So they go to the supervisor behind my back and say, well, you ain't for him. You know he spent time in the Fed joint. And I did. But when you get your record expunged, God will put your stuff in the river as far as from the east to the west, and then put a sign and say, no fishing. So when he called me in there, he did what he supposed to do. He called me in there, he asked me, have I ever been locked up? I said, no. Because I knew it was wiped from the record. And I think from my own eyes, because when you get expunged, they take you to the courthouse, you had to open the book, just make sure your name ain't in it no more. See, but you got to watch the rat. Man, you got to watch the rats and the snakes. Every snake don't crawl on its belly. They don't. I got the sign. I'm going to close this meeting. I'm going to follow the order. But I want to say one thing. You know, when you come in this program and you get some hope, vision, and you get a higher power, you got to realize, regardless, like even all the people that I talked about, that God done blessed See, when God put his hand on us, all of us will be in different fights, different battles, whether it be death, cancer, this, that, the third. But what you got to realize, if you got God in your life and you search about him, the fight fixed. The fight fixed. You going to win. They just don't know you're going to win. The fight fixed. And I'm going to say this. I just want to report some good news real fast while I was closing. Because, Pat, I heard you talking about early having to take the hepatitis C medicine. And because I was on it. I had to take the Havani. Medicine cost $90,000. And I just went yesterday to get the blood work. I'm in the part where I'm finished with all that. I ain't had no symptoms. It was never in my system. They couldn't understand that. I went the first 30 days. I went, wasn't nothing in my system. Had to go another 30 days. Nothing was in my system. Went to 90 days. Nothing, still not in my system. Tell me how good God is. Because I'm one of the baby boomers. Don't let this hat turn a little bit fool you. I'm 60 years old. I'm from the baby boomer. I got here a while ago. I did, Lina Bean. I don't know what you're laughing at. So I'd like to thank y'all, man, especially my friends that came at this hour, because I know y'all could have been doing a whole lot of other things, man. But I thank you, and I feel the love. I feel it. I love you too, Pat. I feel it. I just want to thank y'all. Thank you.